Il-program li ser tisimaw u għamidġjub li l-kombixxu għatajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the program that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus.
I'm very happy to have with me today in the studio Mark Sultana. Just a few words about my guest. Mark graduated with a bachelor's degree in geography from this university in 2008. He successfully obtained his master's in arts in geography here at the University of Malta and is now following a postgraduate diploma, MSc, in Geographical Information Systems and Environment at the University of Manchester. His main areas of expertise include coastal morphology and geology, coastal impacts from an anthropogenic and environmental aspect, coastal management together with streams and rivers. Not very useful for Malta, the streams and rivers bit, but anyway, we'll hear about that. His BA thesis is entitled The Streams and Coastal Interface at Mistra Bay. Ah, there's the stream. Measuring Flows and Changes. And his MA thesis, which we will be discussing today, is entitled Near Shore Processes Along Shingle Beaches in the Maltese Islands. Mark is also a graduate member of the Institute of Environmental Management and Assessment. He is currently an environmental planner with EMDP and has been with the company the last 2 years. Mark is also a part-time lecturer within the University of Malta, where he lectures in the Department of Geography. A warm welcome to you, Mark.
Welcome.
Obviously, from that little introduction, we're going to be talking about beaches, streams, rivers, whatever. And I think that if we're going to deal with your MA thesis, which, as we said, is entitled Nearshore Processes Along Shingle Beaches in the Maltese Islands. I was interested by that word shingle. Perhaps to start off with, you'd better give us a bit of a definition of what is shingle.
It's similar to pebble beaches, as we generally understand. It's the same thing, it's the same theory. However, the difference is in the size of the pebble or the rock. So it varies from sandy to shingle. So that's the main difference. It's not the fine sediment rather than the rocky pebbles.
The shape of the pebbles, obviously the size is different to sand, but you get within the definition of shingle, I think there are various sizes as well. I mean, quite a few different types of small rocks or pebbles can be described as shingle.
Yeah, the changes from granular to pebbles to shingle to cobbles. So, to even boulders, which are
the quite kind of
large
thing that beachcombers don't like to walk over in their bare feet.
Yeah, in fact, we generally tend to go to sandy beaches rather to shingle beaches. So,
exactly. And some of our beaches, as I'm sure you'll be telling us later on, are half and half. They've got a bit of shingle,
yeah,
and a bit of sand. Actually, what does constitute a beach? I mean, I did a little bit of reading in preparation, and it's described in your abstract as a mixture of a beach face and a berm, and I must admit I had to go and look that word up in the dictionary. So tell us exactly what is a beach.
In simple terms, a beach is the strip of land between the sea and the mainland. So it constitutes the strip of land. That's mainly the beach shore. So
how far back do you go? How far back can you call it a beach, if you see what I mean? Is it just that little strip between the sea and, I don't know, the rubble wall that leads onto the field or whatever? Or a beach is sort of bigger than that? You're looking at a bigger picture than that.
During my study, I was trying to search the term beach and what exactly it constitutes. It was interesting to notice that it varied from one study to another. There were various theories. There were some of them which even went that almost you can calculate that the whole of Malta is a beach. So it's slightly difficult to estimate exactly what the beach area constitutes of. In the case of my study, I took the shingle beaches, so I mostly went to shingle beaches directly and took the study from the mean water level and until the shingle reached inland. So
you sort of defined it and stuck to it?
Yeah.
You chose three different shingle beaches, Jnana Bay, Mistra Bay, and Raiten Point at Marsashloch. They're probably not the only shingle beaches or partly shingle beaches in Malta. What prompted your choices? Why did you actually choose those three?
In Malta, there are quite a number of other shingle beaches. There's Fomarich, there's another one in Gozo. However, due to time constraints, I had to choose. I couldn't do a study about all of them. It would have been nice, but time management and budget were a main factor. I took Jnana Bay, Mistra, and Raiten Point for two main reasons. One of them, their geographical position along the Maltese Islands, because they have all different sides. One of them is in the northwest, the other is in the northeast, and the other one is in the southeast. The three of them have different morphologies, different geomorphologies, as well as wind factors. The strongest wind factor is at Jnana Bay, generally at the northwestern point of Malta.
Is that the prevailing wind in Malta?
The prevailing wind in Malta. While the lowest wind comes from the southeastern point of Malta, at Raiten Point.
So it was good from the point of view of comparison?
Yes, that's what my main aims were, in order to find exactly the most seasonal change occurring from the beaches. I could have taken Fomenrich, which is another beach which changes frequently. However, due to accessibility to the beach, it would have been much more difficult to sample and to take readings.
Mm-hmm. Before going into a little bit of detail about each of the beaches, because each of them, as you say, presents different problematics, different challenges, you made an interesting point, I thought, in your abstract, when you said nowadays the main issue that the researcher faces is what kind of study to employ and the basis of the research, rather than the matter of how data is collected. I imagine that there are many studies out there, all with different hypotheses and different approaches. How did you actually go about making the initial choice about what approach you were going to take?
My research had three purposes. The first of all was to assess the geomorphology of the shingle beaches along the Maltese Islands. The second one is to add up to knowledge and information of what scholars have been giving us throughout time in various countries about shingle beaches, and as well as to basically like introduce a topic which is not frequently studied, that is of shingle beaches, because mostly studies occur on sandy beaches, which basically attract the tourists and the common people. And what I try to do is, as you correctly said, try to to add up information about shingle beaches in the Maltese Islands to the various studies that have been occurring throughout time on shingle beaches in foreign countries. I have taken studies which have been even in the early 1990s, so which are quite long in terms of research and everything. However, I thought that it was important because most of the studies do not vary through time. And basically, if you take an approach, it generally tends to be the same throughout time, especially when talking about beaches and shingle beaches. So if you study the sediment properties, it's their volume, their roundness, they generally tend not to change. They vary from one scholar to another, but the theory is the same. Mm-hmm. I, in fact, took an approach when it comes to the shingle roundness. I took three different studies. So I took these three studies mainly because they've varied quite a lot between the three of them. So I couldn't exactly define which one to choose. So I took the three of them and In my study, I determined which would be the best suitable in the case of the Maltese islands and the two beaches which I took.
You took the three of them into account?
Yeah.
And when you're looking at previous research, obviously you would have done this kind of research as your literature review, really, wouldn't you, for a master's? You'd be going to look at what other people have done before you. This is the normal process of a master's degree. In our case, you would have been looking very often at work that was done concerning beaches in Britain, in Australia, in many other different countries, where perhaps things are very different. Size, perhaps, would be an issue, really. Is it easy to transpose that kind of study to study within Malta? Did you have to change the approach in any way to suit the local environment?
Since Malta's generally small, it's quite small in size, and therefore also the beaches are small in size, I had to adapt most of my studies to Malta. Generally, they tend to ask you quite a large sample size. So, however, I took from the two beaches, I took approximately 1,200 shingle pebbles and analyzed them with the various properties. And however, in some studies, there were over 2,000 pebbles from one beach. If I would have analyzed them, all of them, I would have taken the whole bay and done one by one.
Dug it all up.
The time factor was also a problem. Since I was alone doing the research, I had to practically do it by myself. So I had obviously help from other people. But the main research, you do it by your own. So you have, it's a problem of time.
Mm-hmm. What about the looking at the geomorphology of these beaches and the changing physiology? You're looking at this beach, which to us, the uninitiated, looks to be quite stable because we've been going to, I don't know, Meleha Bay, Adira Bay for many, many years, and we go and we find our little patch and we set out our beach chair and we sit there and we imagine that it's going to carry on like that forever. But in actual fact, I think that you would disagree with that idea. Tell us about the changing physiology of the beaches.
First of all, interestingly enough, sandy beaches tend to vary much more than shingle beaches. First of all, it's obviously that sandy beaches are much more finer, so easily to transport rather than shingle. In fact, I have taken the study varied from summer to winter. I didn't take autumn and spring, since the change would not be that great. So I basically took that into account and analyzed it from summer to winter. It varied from various factors. Some of the shingle moved from summer to winter, as well as the beach geomorphology and its slope ratio and its sediment size, its width and length. So there were quite a few changes in that department.
And the changes were only seasonal, or were they also intra-seasonal? I mean, I know on my walking in the mornings in the past, I've passed by Baluta Beach. There isn't much of a beach left, of course. You can hardly call it that, really. But one day, there used to be rocks on one side of the bay, and one day, the rocks would be on the other, which I presumed was something to do with prevailing winds. So there must be differences which are seasonal differences and differences which are intra-seasonal or not.
The beach will vary every day. So every day you will have the strength of the wave would vary, so you'll have changes. That occurs even between the day. So in the morning you would have a type of beach, let's say so, and in the evening you would have another type of beach. The problem is that when doing a research, especially when there's a time limit, you try and take as much as possible the extravagant change in the beach. So I had to go for summer, which is generally tends to be the deposit time of a beach, where there's less strong waves, and the winter time, where there's the strong waves constantly let's say so, attacking the beach and therefore changing much faster the way the beach is.
Going back to the shingle for a moment, because this is something I have to be honest, I'd never really considered before. I read your, just really an abstract of what your very long, rather long MA. The shingle itself, I mean, we said earlier there are different shapes, different sizes, from a boulder to a small
granular,
pebble,
yeah.
Granular, also granular level. You mentioned this idea of erosion and different types of erosion in the shingle pieces themselves. How does that erosion happen? Do we know exactly how that erosion happens?
So the erosion can take part mostly since it's shingle, so there's a rock hitting another rock. So there's mostly the erosion part. On the other hand, there's the erosion coming from fine particles that can be on the waves and the water. So it's constantly eroding. Also the salt in the water, which can dry up, especially when there's waves on the upper part of the beach, it dries up and starts to dissolve on the shingle or the pebble. So there can be quite a number of factors. There can be also the seasonal stream coming from behind, especially in Mistra, and although Jnaina Bay wasn't interfering, the stream passing through Jnaina Bay wasn't interfering with the shingle part, but on the sandy part, but still there would be some influence occurring. Right on point, although there is no stream passing by, when it was in winter, especially when it would be a rainy day, the water coming from parts of Marsa Shlok would end up at that point and erode the fine sediment which would have been deposited during winter, during summer, excuse me.
And the rocks themselves, the pebbles, and obviously we have a limestone base. I mean, that's what the island basically is, different types of limestone. Did you find pebbles, rocks, boulders which were not limestone, that might have been carried from far away, or was it all different types of limestone, or did you not go into that?
My study, I didn't go particularly into that. However, the major limestone was found at Wrighton Point, since geographically and geologically that area is mostly limestone. And however, the limestone that was mostly found in that area is the large rocks that was used as waste by contractors that in the past, not recently, but quite in the past years, have thrown the Franca stone and the blocks, and which to time, interestingly enough, have eroded. So now they're starting to form their roundness, their sphericity. So it was quite interesting to notice that change. Also their movement, although it was very slight, to move quite a big, large of Franca rock would have been, there must be quite strong waves, and Marsa Shlok, that's not the fact. However, slight movement occurred.
That's interesting. So we've sort of created this shingle beach ourselves, really.
If you could say so, it's mostly more of a boulder beach rather than a shingle beach. But I focused on a smaller part of the beach, which is mostly shingle. The major problem that I had during this thesis was obviously the human factor, which, for example, in Mistra Bay, people would move around the shingle either to sit by. In fact, one day I went to do my study and I couldn't do it because there were people picnicking on the shingle beach and they started moving around the pebbles. And so I had noticed where they were sitting, so to avoid that part of the beach, because it would have totally changed
skewed your results, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So it's a major problem, cars parking on shingle beaches, because we tend to protect and conserve sandy beaches, but shingle beaches, we tend to leave them around and everybody does what he likes.
So there's quite a lot of human impact and intervention. And on the three beaches, or was Mistra the worst of them all?
Mistra was much more popular with people. They go there, they tend to sit down and park their cars, fishing and everything. And even when they pick up their boats, they tend to move a bit, the sediment and everything. Jnaina Bay isn't that influenced, because Jnaina Bay, the shingle part, is a small area, and they tend to people use more the sandy area rather than the shingle area. So it was the least influenced by humans. Right and Point, on the other hand, as I explained before, is highly influenced by the construction waste which was deposited in the past years.
Mm. Because now, you can't actually get onto it. I mean, it's not somewhere where you could actually drive your car. It's not like Mistra, where it's practically flat behind, just drive your car onto the beach.
Yeah. However, cars still tend to park a bit there, because there's the sandy beach. There's a small sandy beach close by. So to access there, they have to park the cars and everything on that area.
What about the actual methodology? You mentioned the thousands of samples that you took from the beaches. What was your methodology regarding the information gathering process? You refer to beach profile in your thesis.
So to take into account the beach profile, I basically used a godometer, which takes into account the gradient of the slope. It's at 50 centimeter wide, so it can be quite accurate. However, due to time constraints, I would have liked to take a small area, but the problem is time, and it takes quite a long to take every 50 centimeters along the beach. So it usually takes me a whole day just to do that alone.
I can imagine.
And the problem is that I try to take a whole day and took every type of analysis, so the size of the pebbles, the roundness, in order to avoid as much as possible variance from one day to another. So I had to hurry up quite a lot in the study as well. It took me from 5 o'clock in the morning till around 11 o'clock in the evening. So,
wow,
it's quite a long time to take approximately from each bay at summer 200 pebbles samples.
And so you built up this beach profile for each of the beaches. And at that point, you must have created a profile for individually, and then made your comparisons, I presume.
I compared them both between the two beaches, and as well as from summer to winter on the same beach. So basically, the profile helped me exactly understand the variance occurring on the beach. It varied from summer to winter, and it helped me understand more the process occurring. So, for example, when the slope decreased and the slope increased in winter and summer, so there was quite a variety occurring.
When you put those results together, you had a very interesting table where you have a summary of all the data collected and the comparison between the three bays. Did you find any very surprising results, or were things more or less how you imagined they would be?
First of all, what I try to do is a table summarizing all my findings in order to basically people who are interested in the subject don't need to read the whole 250-page thesis, but just read that one page which has the whole contents. And it tried to give a difference from which one is the highest and or the lowest. And, for example, the wind influence, the highest occurs at Jnaina, while the lowest occurs at Mistra Bay. However, the seasonal change, interestingly enough, which was done to an equation which I did together with my tutor, took into consideration roundness, flatness, and various other indexes which I studied on each bay. And interestingly enough, the lowest seasonal change occurred in Jnaina, while the highest occurred in Right End Point, in Marsa Shlok. So it was quite an interesting finding, that occurred, because mostly we tend to associate that the stronger the wind, the more the change. That wasn't the case, because right end point, which was quite a protected beach in terms of geomorphology, as well as in terms of winds, it was the most it changed mostly between summer and winter.
In the last minute that we have, we spoke before about people reading the thesis. Obviously, people aren't going to really read a 350-page thesis. The information that you've gathered, however, I mean, it was an exercise for you. Obviously, it's a learning curve for you in your studies. But I think something like that, I would imagine at least, would be useful to people who are planning how to develop the area, how to improve on the beaches. Do you feel that what you've done is a useful job for other people as well as for yourself?
The study was mainly for scholars, so they took into account what's happening along the shingle beaches in Malta, and it would have been a nice study if I had the time to compare it what's happening across other countries. So that would be quite interesting. However, it would be also helpful for coastal management, where nowadays we're mostly focusing on that area, where we are trying to understand how we could better reduce sediment movement, as the study could also be applied to sandy beaches, because basically the same thing applies to both sandy beaches and shingle beaches. So we can use for both of them, especially when it comes to management of the beaches.
Thank you so much, Mark Sultana, for coming to talk to us on University Matters today about shingle beaches. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqat tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.